Welcome to episode 244 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
There should be some wonderful links with more information available on the show page today. And you can find that by visiting thelabwithbrad.com. Cool. Only took two takes. I feel pretty good about that.
Wonderful.
Yeah, okay, he's making fun of me because I'm not supposed to peek extra loud or it doesn't mix with the music. You know what? Never mind. You don't need to know that. We're here.
Yeah.
And we're talking about artificial neural networks today. I have mixed feelings about them. On the one hand, there's a chance that we could be kind.
Kind to our population?
Yes.
Your population?
Yes, kinder. Like the whole let's evolve them is a process of torturing your creations until they do what you want.
I'm a fan. That's science.
It bothers me. I've had nightmares about it. Poor little squishy things. Well, let me hit you with a hammer until you grow up. But if they have a neural network, if they have a brain, there's a chance that they might actually come to enjoy learning.
Enjoy the pain? We're building masochists.
No, I can't.
Teach me.
Oh, Lord. No, have you ever seen humans play video games?
Yeah.
Right. There's anger and frustration and sadness.
Oh, controllers have been broken.
Yes.
TVs have been smashed.
But on the other hand, it's fun.
It's a great time.
Right. So, I mean, it's a possibility you can get the right neural networks put together. You might have a tailor-made mind that just likes doing whatever it is you're trying to get them to do, has a great time doing it.
So you want a good dog?
Essentially, yes. The problem with the neural networks, a couple of problems with them. One, they're a black box.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you get a neural network and it's working. You really don't know how it's doing what it's doing.
It solved the problem.
There's some sort of magic in there. It makes it difficult to tweak or debug when something goes wrong, and it's difficult to predict what it might do. Also, I can't help but feel like somewhere along the line, and I got nothing to back this up, but it's just this niggling sensation that won't go away, this intuition that somewhere along the line, artificial neural networks have taken a wrong turn.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You mean as a concept? As a concept,
as the way they're being implemented?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know. It just feels wrongish.
Okay. That's not squishy at all.
And, you know, it's actually wandered away from the original idea was that, hey, let's sort of imitate biological brains, right?
Yeah.
And they sort of do, and they sort of don't. Mm-hmm. And in and of itself, that's not a big deal. I mean, you don't have to be exactly the same as nature. You know, we talked about that on Monday.
Yeah.
You know what the problem is? We've done two shows in 2 weeks in a row. Vacation season.
We never do that. Wait, yes, we do.
Yeah, we do. Most weeks. It's most of the time.
I actually had to check the last show to make sure that we were recording today.
Yes, we are. And next week. But then it's going to be a couple of weeks off, and we're going to talk about artificial neural networks.
Okay.
As opposed to those biological neural networks.
The brain. So I've got this, like, if they model it well enough, the biological way that neurons link up, then they don't need to know anything beyond modeling it well enough and giving it room to grow. It'll figure itself out.
Up to a point. Except not at all. You have to remember, and this is an amazing straight line you've given me here.
Oh, good.
This is the very point I wanted to make.
Yay! I serve a purpose.
You don't develop a healthy brain without a certain amount and type of input.
Right. Okay. So that's a problem.
Yeah, that's a problem. I was wondering about this. We made an eye, right?
Who has the eye? Okay, yeah.
The dork still can't see because I haven't grafted it onto them yet.
But it's there
but
waiting.
But the hard part of making an eye is done.
Okay.
Yay!
Just got eyeballs floating around in your brain, or excuse me, in your computer.
But when I made the retina, I made a bunch of different little individual light-sensitive cells. Mm-hmm. I stacked them right on top of each other. They're all sitting in exactly the same place, just looking out at different angles.
Yeah.
Real retinas don't do that. They can't do that. One cell can't sit exactly where another cell is sitting. You know, physics.
Yeah.
I wonder about that. You look at the brain. It's the kind of thing cells would do when they get together. They communicate by squirting crap at each other.
Yeah, that's right. Gross.
Okay. Well, the brain, you've got these action potentials. Mm-hmm. This big, magical, ionic cascade of electrical energies going down the length of the neuron. And when it gets to the end of it, mm-hmm. it squirts something at the other cell.
Blammo! This means something.
So yeah, it's still basically doing the same thing it did since forever ago.
Right. But somehow this
don't necessarily mean that this is the only way or even the best way or even close to the best way of making something intelligent.
But it works.
Yeah, that's the thing. So how do we give it the right kind of inputs, right? I was looking at this. I ran across this thing called Markov chains.
Okay.
Which I'm not going to go into too much, right?
That's a name, right? Not a Markov chain.
Yeah, that's sounds German.
I believe.
Maybe Russian. I don't know. I got about halfway through it before I went, uh-huh. It occurred to me, though, I was like, suppose you have some magic way of creating as many puzzles as they possibly need mm-hmm. in order to take building a brain and tuning it up. Mm-hmm. All that's going to happen, right?
Okay.
The ecological approach, the bit where we make it some sort of ecological metaphor,
okay,
that's for us. That's when we have the slightest idea what's going on. I don't think all we do is give them this thing that's too abstract. We could end up with some system that's plenty intelligent, right?
Yeah.
Able to put its mind to any arbitrarily complex problem and come up with a reasonable solution.
Mm-hmm.
But no way at all to understand it. No way to communicate. Just like absolutely nothing in common.
Mm-hmm.
We're already sort of headed that direction. We're not two-dimensional.
Okay. So, going back to the modeling it well enough to be a neuron, if we did that and also gave them a microphone and cameras and robotic arms.
To eat or?
You know, something to give them input to make their little neurons fire.
You know what we should do is contact the Seattle Robotics Society.
Really? They exist.
Yeah, they're a real thing.
Oh, what a big pack of nerds to exploit.
I'm not going to make any promises, but that's in the back of my mind.
Hmm.
There are thinkers who have suggested that without an actual environment to interact with, you can't get intelligence.
That would make sense. I mean,
and if you consider that human beings, if you take away all of our senses, we go crazy. I get 2-3 days of sensory deprivation. You're nuts.
Oh. Yeah, so we've been busily trying to make insane AIs.
On the other hand, we evolved, and any evolutionary system can sometimes be dependent upon things that were there most of the time. It doesn't mean that fundamentally an intelligence needs that. There's a whole lot of I don't know.
Hmm.
You know what's going to happen, though, right?
Hmm.
Somebody somewhere is going to solve it. Here's how you make a general intelligence and general purpose artificial intelligence, right? And then and everyone will figure out other ways to do it. And then give it another generation and a bunch of kids will wonder why anybody ever didn't understand how
it was so easy.
All right, that's all I wanted to talk about. I'm done. Are you done? I'm done.
Oh, wow. Who cares if I'm done?
So let's talk about a neuron, the basic idea of a neuron.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what the hell? What the hey? What the hell? What the hell is a neuron?
Okay.
It's a nerve cell.
Yeah.
Outside of your brain They send sensory messages to your brain, mm-hmm. or impulses to your muscles to make them do things mm-hmm. from your brain. Mm-hmm. And also, there's some stuff that happens between with that. Yeah, let's just stay away from the rest of the complicated. Stop talking, Brad.
Okay.
The episode's over. And then there's the same kind of cells mm-hmm. all networked together in your brain. And your basic neuron receives some inputs at what they call the dendrite. Mm-hmm. And then it decides, hey, I'm going to fire or I shall merely abide. Mm-hmm. If it does fire, it sends its signal down a long tail called an axon, yeah. which may or may not branch off and reach a bunch of other dendrites of other cells. Mm-hmm. That's the story.
Yeah, and somehow that means you can think.
I think. Think.
Usually.
Hey, I haven't even finished a whole cup of coffee. Give me a break. So, long ago, when they were first figuring out what neurons did, mm-hmm. and that they are kind of electrical and so forth, a couple of the guys go, hey, you know what? A neuron can kind of act like some logic gates.
Yeah.
What are logic gates? Well, this is a computer science-y thing. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That's as much as I'm going to say about them. You've got, like, and, mm-hmm. which means both, you have to have two inputs, both of which are one, mm-hmm. to get an output of one.
Otherwise, it's zero.
You can also have, say, an or, mm-hmm. where either input can be one or both of them, mm-hmm. and you get a one.
Yeah.
The only way to get a zero for that is to have no input at all. Mm-hmm. This was the binary neuron. Now, these are papers being written before computers really took off.
But right there, it sounds like we could model that.
Yes. Pretty simple so far. Hmm. And so there's your neuron. It's got its inputs, and it's got what they call an activation function, mm-hmm. where if you reach some threshold from the inputs, add them together, then it will fire.
Simple.
Then along comes a fellow named Hebb. Mm-hmm. And he suggested the Hebbian rule, or the Hebbian learning rule, mm-hmm. which is neurons that fire together, wire together.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it rhymes. It's got to be science. Yeah, but you know, the idea is that two neurons that fire together a lot, neuron A promotes the firing of neuron B, and they keep firing together, neuron A will get better and better at getting neuron B to fire.
Oh, okay.
And a guy decided he was going to run with it, and he built the Perceptron.
Perceptron?
Yes.
Oh, what year was this? Because that kind of name.
This is about the 1960s.
Okay, yeah.
You saw a lot of theoretical work on this in the 1940s.
Okay.
I heard a rumor that the very first Perceptron was built on, or implemented on an IBM.
Perceptron.
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't like the name.
It's okay.
And there was ridiculous amounts of hype about the thing.
Okay.
It had been able to do things like recognize letters and do a little human handwriting recognition.
Ooh.
So it was starting to classify images. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys came out and said, you know, if there is a function and you put this thing in the world that has that function, give it the inputs in any order whatsoever and give it enough time, mm-hmm. it will find that function.
Well, okay.
Big, sweeping statement and wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, function. You mean like a mathematical function?
Yeah, where, you match these inputs to that output.
Okay.
That's the whole mission in life of a perceptron.
Okay.
And in many ways, neural networks today. Anyway, to be technical, what they couldn't get out of these systems was the exclusive OR.
Oh, ooh.
Which is often called a ZOR.
Yeah.
And that means that one input has to be true, but it can't be both of them.
Yeah, that's important. I heard a story. If you whatever logic circuit you're trying to build, if you just have this type of logic gate, you can...
I've heard that, too. I've heard that about NANDs, I think.
Maybe that was it.
And NORs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, though. I don't believe it.
Hocus pocus.
Neurons, my fanny. Yeah. All right, neurons, my fanny. Turns out what they needed to do Okay, okay, when, you, when you're over the fanny thing.
It's a funny word.
What they needed to do was take more than one perceptron and wire them together. It's just the word perceptron.
I'm having a day.
Okay. Yeah, so that a single perceptron would be a layer in a neural network.
Ooh. Da, 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 da. So here we are. Neural networks.
Oh, you think we're done already? Then a couple other people came along and said, okay, let's not be too limited by these original notions. Mm-hmm. In particular, the activation function, the threshold.
Right, right.
So they're like, well, what if we ignore the activation threshold function and just take the outputs of the weights?
Okay.
Yeah, that turns out that it makes it easy to calculate how the errors are happening and what sort of adjustments to make using good old calculus.
Hey, they're math folk, I assume.
Yes, I assume.
Scientists.
Science. So now you don't even necessarily have the threshold function, which is a feature of real neurons.
Wait a minute. Okay.
And they're taking all the synaptic weights. What's a synaptic weight? It is the input that a neuron is getting.
Okay.
You line them all up, all these inputs, into a matrix.
Okay, that's what you do.
Yes, matrix. What is a matrix? Well, it's just rows and that too.
Well, I actually like it. Okay.
All right. So just rows and columns of numbers into two-dimensional, three-dimensional, what have you. If you have a lot of matrix operations to do, where you're going to like multiply all those numbers together, add them all together, do division or whatever, you can end up with thousands and thousands of calculations that you need to do at once. Fortunately, another place where matrix calculations happen all the time is with graphics cards.
Oh, hey. Okay.
There's a lot of matrix math in science. So even before it got applied to neural networks, a couple of scientists were like, hey, you know, maybe we can take this thing and make it do stuff for us. When you're dealing with these neural networks, you've got the one pass that says, here's the inputs. Here's the output you get from it. And then you get another pass that says, okay, the output was wrong. Here's how you need to adjust things.
Okay.
And both of those are matrix operations. So they've started using graphics cards to accelerate neural networks, artificial neural networks, and how quickly they can learn to do things.
Oh, okay.
Now, that has made a hell of a difference. There's also new approaches, new algorithms come out. Like, it seems like every other week there's another diggity darn old can't swing a dead cat without hitting some artificial network.
Okay.
And there's this thing that came out in 2015. They called it deep learning.
Ooh.
There's nothing deep about the learning. What they're talking about is using many layers together. And then they've got a couple different ways they learn. Sometimes it's supervised learning, right, where you know the right answer, but not necessarily how to find it.
Okay.
So you can tell whether or not the neural network has gotten the right answer, and tell it whether or not it got the right answer.
No, try again.
Yes, exactly. There's something called reinforcement learning.
Good job.
Which is,
you're getting there.
That's actually pretty close to what it is. There's a delay between what is done and when they get the feedback.
Okay.
It's thought that, for example, the cerebellum is supervised learning and the basal ganglia is reinforcement learning.
Oh, for humans.
For humans.
Okay.
Yes, and this is just broad strokeness, right?
Yeah.
And then there's unsupervised learning.
Okay.
This is something that these various genetic approaches don't do.
Unsupervised learning.
Yes.
I don't know what you're doing. Get me a beer.
Well, I'll give you an example. Say you want something to learn the letters of the alphabet.
Okay.
So it sees a picture of it. It knows it's an A, B, C, D, E, F, G, whatever. Instead of telling it that's an A, B, C, D, E, F, G, whatever, you give it a picture.
Okay.
And whichever neuron wins, whichever one gets the most I want to fire, yeah, that is now mapped to that letter.
Oh, okay.
And then you start training accordingly. That's kind of neat because you can set it up and turn it on and leave the office and come back.
How you guys doing?
And they will have taught themselves.
I like that.
Yes. That is apparently at least partially what goes on in our cerebral cortex.
Okay.
So a deep learning approach does at least acknowledge the idea that there's not one algorithm going on. They usually take a bunch of algorithms and slap them all together. In strange and convoluted ways. There's even convolutional neural networks. Don't ask me what those are. Wow. I don't get it.
Yeah, they gave up. What's going on here? I don't know. What are we going to call it? It's convoluted, man.
So, what about the Dorg?
Uh-huh. Here we are.
How are we going to get those to act even a little bit like any of this? Uh-huh. Well, I have a couple of experiments in mind.
Okay.
None of them, they don't really have anything to do with this approach.
We got our own thing going on. I mean,
yeah, basically, we're trying to get cells to communicate to solve a problem together.
Yeah.
So I'll pull it back to that simple a level. Mm-hmm. I'd describe the experiment in more detail, but I don't want to.
<It's> mine.
Let me try first.
I reserve right to never talk about this again.
Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, what about the graphics cards and GPUs, graphics processing unit, mm-hmm. what that stands for. Mm-hmm. Is there some way the Dorg can use them? I don't know. I was thinking maybe just set up some sort of port system and let them play with it and figure out whether they can use it themselves or not.
Uh-huh.
Which brings me to another point. Mm-hmm. These approaches we've talked about so far. They're not the only AI algorithms out there.
Right.
And I gotta wonder if maybe some of these other algorithms wouldn't be useful. And maybe we can set them up so that the Dorg can use them like tools.
Hey, neat.
Yeah, just like they might be able to learn how to use a graphics card, maybe they can learn how to use a tree search. Uh-huh. Or a rule-based system. Okay. Or all the other things we're going to talk about next time. See you then.
Bye.